Now then, if you'll turn in your Bibles tonight to the Gospel according to John and to chapter 1. John chapter 1, the great beloved Apostle John gives to us some very fundamental and basic truths for the believer in these dark and trying days in which we live. In the very first chapter, I'm going to begin reading at verse 1. Before we read the Word of God, I want us to pause in a moment of prayer. Our Father, we are thankful now for Thy blessings upon us. We thank Thee that Thou hast not left us to grope in the darkness, but that Thou hast given us the light of life. Even the Lord Jesus Christ, who has brought light into our dark and dismal world. It is our prayer that as we meditate together in these moments, as we look into Thy Word, as we wait upon Thee, the Holy Spirit would bring instruction and enlightenment to each of our hearts. And may Thy will be done in each of our lives. Is our prayer in Jesus' name and for His sake and with thanksgiving. Amen. John chapter 1 and beginning at verse 1, I shall read through verse 9. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Now in the Bible, there is a great deal said about light. In the process of creation, we read in Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep. And verse 3 says, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. In the prophecy of Isaiah, concerning the location, the geographic location, where Jesus would carry on a greater part of his ministry, Isaiah says in his 9th chapter at verse 1, they that sat in darkness have seen a great light. Now he is referring to the area that we know as Galilee in Palestine, where Jesus carried on something over 18 months of his earthly ministry. Thank God the light has come. And they that sat in darkness have seen the light. In the book of Ephesians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul tells us that we are children of light. He admonishes us in view of our relationship to God and in view of the fact that we are children of light. He admonishes us to walk in the light. And he further admonishes us in that same chapter, Ephesians 5, verse 11. to have no fellowship with darkness, but rather reprove or expose the evil doings of darkness. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul asks the question, what fellowship does light have with darkness? Now, in the early days of Christianity, it was true light against true darkness. Light and darkness do not mix any more than oil and water. Light has no fellowship with darkness. In my text, we are told that there has come into the world the eternal, everlasting, glorious light in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness does not lay hold upon it. There was a man sent from God. You know, that's one of my favorite texts. I'm just liable to strike out one of these days and preach a sermon on that. There was a man sent from God. I'm still old-fashioned enough to believe that preachers are called and sent by God. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Make no mistake about it. The beloved apostle writes, that was not the true light, but he came into the world to bear witness of that light. The light that lights all men. That light is the Lord Jesus Christ. So my message tonight is simply, let there be light. And I have three reasons to admonish you. Let there be light. First of all, because light is the only true answer to darkness. Second, let there be light because light reveals sin. And third, let there be light because light glorifies God. Let there be light. Let there be light because light is the only answer to darkness. You know, you can go in a dark room and turn on a hose pipe and shoot water in, and that doesn't do a thing to the darkness. You can pump air into that room and it doesn't do a thing to the darkness. The only real answer to darkness is light. The light that has come into the world in the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't wonder that God, in his holy book, when he refers to heaven, he always surrounds it in light. Why, John tells us in the Revelation that city that lieth four square, that has streets of gold and gates of pearl. Now, I'm not going to get off on that. That'd be too much. But John says they have no need for the sun by day, and there shall be no night there, for the Lamb is the light thereof. Well, that's another matter altogether. I better get my feet back down on the ground. I mean, if we get to preaching about heaven, we'll have to leave our seats. It's all right to shout as long as you walk straight when you hit the ground. This is a dark world in which we are living. There's darkness all about us. This darkness is made intense by sin, by war. When our president went on the news media this last week one night, made the announcement that our men were going to move in Cambodia, that made the world a little bit darker. Now, I'm not saying whether he ought to have done it or ought not to have done it. I personally believe if I'd have been in his place, I would have done it. We're involved. We are there. We have spent a lot of money. We've spent a lot of lives. And I'm in favor of doing something about it and not wasting our men's blood for nothing. And I agree with him when he calls this crowd around on the campus a bunch of bums that are trying to destroy the educational system in the world. And when our other young men are out there shedding their blood, you bet they're bums. In the first degree, the first magnitude. I know there's some good fellows caught up in it. But beloved, if we don't, and this all has to do with light and darkness. If we don't stop some of this, our country is gone. The strongest element in the world is the youth and the college youth. If we don't put some handcuffs on them, our country is gone. We're facing a great revolution of darkness. Strange to me that anybody would fight to tear down what has given them all that they ever had. God help us to realize that we are living in the midst of a dark and dismal world. Dark by famine, dark by war, dark by poverty, but dark by sin. For since the moment that sin entered into this human race, there has been darkness all over the world. We're living, I believe, in the closing days of this age. An age that is dominated by the prince of the power of darkness. Paul dresses up the Christian soldier in Ephesians chapter 6, and he says at verse 10, therefore put on, he says, first, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, put on the whole armor of God. We are in a war. We're not attending a picnic. We are not on easy street. We are at war with the things of the world and the system of this dark and dismal world. God help us to quit ourselves like men and be ready to fight. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:4, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The devil is in the blinding business, blinding the minds and the hearts of men spiritually. I read some time ago where a man was driving down the Canadian highway. The sun was shining brightly. And all of a sudden there appeared on the windshield what he thought were raindrops. And then immediately it was completely dark. And he pulled his car over to the side of the road the best he could, only to discover it wasn't raining. It wasn't cloudy. He had gone blind. 30,000 people a year go blind in North America. Physically blind. But oh my, how many hundreds of thousands are spiritually blind, living in a spiritual darkness because Satan has blinded the minds of people. We have more artificial illumination in the 20th century than we've ever had before, and yet we have less true light than we've ever had. Not only are we living in a dark world, but here's the tragedy of it, we're getting used to it. You know, you've been in dark rooms. Sometimes you go into a restaurant to eat, and it's so dark that you have to stumble around to get to the chair. And when you do, you want to call for a flashlight to read the menu. And you talk about eating by faith. You eat by faith and not by sight. And I felt like in some of them say, let there be light. But you know, it's strange, after you've been in there a little while, blinked your eye two or three times, you begin to see, you get used to it. There's some things that Christians ought never to get used to. One thing is we should never get used to the darkness of this sinful world. There is a light that is penetrating the darkness. You know, there's a great deal of brainwashing going on in the world today. The television is full of brainwashing. The movies are full of brainwashing. The pornographic magazines and papers. The second biggest racket in this world is pornographic literature. Number one is dope. And what are we Christians doing about it? All of these TV programs and lewd, unfit movies that people are going to, there's something wrong. I believe this. These media and the movies and so forth and so on and the lewd, nasty, filthy magazines that are filling the racks, they are glorifying sin and sex perversion. You know what I believe? I believe there's something wrong with those people that produce those. Number two, I believe there's something wrong with the actors that play in them. And number three, I think there's something wrong with the people that go to them. You see, what the devil is doing, he's brainwashed us. We don't think it's harmful for our children to watch these movies and on TV and the late movies. I'm told I don't stay up to watch them. If I get through the news, I'm doing good. I'm dead tired and I go to bed and go to sleep. But I understand the late movies. You can see anything that you can see on any screen anywhere. In 10 years, they'll be appearing in the nude on the movies. You put it down, on the television, you put it down, they're already in the movies. I'm not going out on a tirade against television, but I think we ought to learn how to control it in our own homes. We're being brainwashed. Isaiah 5:20, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. That's exactly what these things are doing, and we are being brainwashed. You know, there was a time not long ago we'd see something that we didn't think ought to come out on the television screen. We'd gasp for breath and we'd be shocked and our jaws would fly open. But now so what? You know, we've gotten used to the darkness. That's what I'm saying. And that's dangerous. Lot was a righteous man. The Bible tells us that his soul was vexed with what was going on in Sodom. But when Lot settled down in Sodom, he didn't make it any lighter. He just got used to the darkness. And that's what many Christians are doing today. We're getting used to the darkness. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, this then is the message that we declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, cleanseth us from all sin. I'm glad John put that A-L-L in there. All sin. Let there be light, because light is the only answer to this dark world. Let there be light, because light reveals sin. The reason that we're living in a world of darkness is because the world has rejected the light of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we speak about a lot of phobias or fears in life. A lot of people have photophobia, which is a fear of light. And the psychologists have just named that in recent years, but John named it a long time ago. Look in the third chapter of John, verse 19, verse 20, and verse 21. John says that light, this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. And men love darkness more than light because their deeds are evil. Neither will they come to the light lest their deeds be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light that his deeds might be manifest that they are wrought in God. Photophobia, afraid of the light. You know, you've got to be suspicious of people who want to operate in the dark. There's something wrong. They don't want to operate in the light. There's something wrong. You know, when you go out and turn over a rock or a board that's been out in the yard for a long time, immediately everything under it begins to scramble. They're afraid of the light. When you go into a cellar and turn on a light, you see the spiders and the snakes and the lizards and all of those things. Don't see them in the dark, but the minute you turn the light on, you see them. Because light reveals hidden things of darkness. That's the reason a lot of Christians have to blink their eyes on Sunday morning when the preacher turns on the gospel light. They've been living in the darkness all the week. I mean, saved people have been in the darkness of the world. They've talked like the world and walked like the world and acted like the world. And then they have to blink their eyes, spiritual eyes, when they come in to hear the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Psalm 119:105, we read, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway." In that same chapter, in verse 130, the psalmist said, "The entrance of thy word giveth light." You see, God's word brings light and illumination. Jesus declared in John 8:12, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth after me shall not walk in darkness." There is no darkness in him, but shall have the light of life. Let there be light, because light reveals sin. We are not here to learn how to live in the dark, but to learn how to walk in the light. We are not here to learn how to get along with evil. We are here to overcome evil with good. That's what the good book says. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Let there be light, because light exposes, reveals sin. Let there be light, because light glorifies God. You see, we are reflectors of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only did Jesus say, "I am the light of the world," but Jesus said, "Ye are the light of the world." Any contradiction there? No. Hasn't it been a beautiful day? The sun has been shining. I suppose still is shining. And we say, "My, what a wonderful light. This is the light of the world." After a while, when the shades of night begin to fall and the moon makes its debut into the skies, the young fellow looks up at the moon. Then he looks down in the eyes of, and he's moonstruck, and he doesn't know whether that's the light or there's the light. But if we're on even keel, we say, "The moon is the light of the world." No contradiction. None whatsoever. Because the moon gets all of its light from the sun. There is no inherent light in the moon. The moon, simply like a mirror, reflects the sun. That's exactly what you and I do for Jesus, the Son of Righteousness. We reflect him. We have no light in our lives. We're altogether dark. Jesus said in Matthew 5:14, "Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works," and do what? "Glorify your Father who is in heaven." Jesus didn't say, "Let your light twinkle." He said, "Let your light shine." You know, once in a while, we have an eclipse of the sun. We had one not long ago. In some parts of the United States and the North American hemisphere, it was almost completely dark, like night. Like it was last Saturday, a week ago, about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I thought we were having an eclipse then. I mean, everything, the sun had gone out and everything was dark. But when the moon comes between, when something comes between us and the sun is eclipsed. You know, when something comes between us and the Lord, the light is eclipsed. Jesus said, "Let your light shine." Again, he didn't say twinkle, he said shine. There's a difference. Light glorifies God. The trouble is, with us, we dim our lights to accommodate the world. We're so afraid that we're going to offend somebody. We have become so afraid that we would offend somebody that we become ineffective in our service. Oh, some people are so afraid if they say anything to an unsaved person or if the preacher preaches a message against sin that he's going to offend somebody. I'd rather offend the world and everybody in it than to grieve the Holy Spirit. You know, there was a time when we had revivals and the Holy Spirit of God worked in the hearts of men. But you know, now we have all kinds of excuses. Monday night so-and-so meets, and Tuesday night some other club meets, and Wednesday night something else happens. And you know what? We ought to have the devil on the defensive, and he ought to be saying, well, I guess we won't have any good business this week. They're going to have a revival over here in the community. We are so afraid we're going to offend somebody. Forget it. You've got to offend people if you follow Jesus, because he offended people. Don't become so afraid that you'll become offensive that you become ineffective in your testimony for Christ. I read a story where up in the state of Maine, some parents drove every night for 12 long years to the cemetery and put a candle on the grave of their only son so that he would never have to be in the darkness. Now, we appreciate the devotion and dedication, but we know that didn't do any good. It would do a whole lot better for parents to bring their children into the Sunday school and into the church, that they might get the light of the gospel while they're living. It's too late after they're dead. God help us to see that unless our lights are shining, someone is going to go to hell in darkness. Let there be light. We are marching to an eternal day. One day all of the darkness will vanish and all the darkness will flee. And we shall be in complete and perfect light forever. Won't that be wonderful? No more heartaches and pains and sorrows and darkness of sin and death, but forever in the presence of Him who is the light of the world. Is your light shining for Jesus? Do the people out there on the job where you work sort of have to lift their eyebrows when they hear your conversation? And say under their breath, I thought that guy went to church. I thought he was a leading member in the church. Is your light shining for Jesus? We need to get our lights out from under the bushel and put them up on a candlestick and let them shine for the Lord Jesus Christ. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. I think that's the reason God built Jerusalem on a hill. It can't be hid. As a type of our Jerusalem, our spiritual lives, letting our light shine for Jesus. I say again, if you and I don't let our light shine, somebody is going to go to hell in darkness. Let there be light, because light is the only answer to darkness. Let there be light, because light reveals sin. Let there be light, because light glorifies God. Will you let there be light in your life now? Let us stand for our prayer. Father, we thank Thee again for the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We pray if there be those here tonight who have never seen the light, that they might see Him who is the eternal light of the world, even our Savior, Jesus Christ. And Heavenly Father, if there are those here who have seen the light but have not come to that light in full and absolute commitment of their lives to Thee, may they do so. If they're Christians whose lights have about gone out, the things of the world, the things of self, the sins, all of these things that are about us in the world tonight, if these things have caused lights to be darkened, may they be shoved aside and may the light of Christ be reflected from our lives. Bless us, we pray, in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. We are going to sing a stanza or two of invitation. If you're here tonight and you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, but you want to be saved, I want you to come. If you're here tonight and you'd like to become a member of this church by letter or by baptism or on your statement of having been baptized under the auspices of a Baptist church, or if you'd like to come for a word of prayer as a Christian, I want you to come while we sing.